I reached out to as many folks as I could to tell them something very special this week. I hope you all got the message when I reached out and I said, God is with you. I said, God is watching you. You had 167 hours and 30 minutes to be with God and to be with other people. Did you tell anybody about church this week? Did you tell anybody about anything that your church does? Because you know what? You're the church. You're the body. Say that. I'm the body. So when you're not here and I'm not here, when you're all traveling around, you're the body of the church. So I texted as many, and for those of you that I didn't, I'm going to talk to Marilyn. Maybe we'll put out a little group thing so she can see, because I don't have everybody's, and I'm not on Facebook. How many know I'm not on Facebook? Let me tell you, there's 9,241 reasons why I'm not on Facebook. And this is number one right here. Not only do I want to know, I don't want her to know. No, I reached out and I said, God is with you. God is with you all the time. He's with you all the time. I just said, do something for God today. You might be the light. You might change a life. You have the ability to change a life. Amen? What one thing did Jesus tell the apostles? Anybody help me. What one thing did he tell the apostles? Go and preach the word. He said, Jesus, God is saying, you go and preach the word. And I'm thinking the other day, well, I'm the pastor, and this is everything. My wife will tell you, this is everything. We're here today because of the church. My wife would be in Tennessee, and if she was in Tennessee, I'd be with her. So the church is everything. And I said, Jesus told the apostles, he could tell everybody if he wanted to, but he said, no, you go and tell the apostles what? Preach the word. So I said, I'm going to start just sending that out. Let you, hey, by the way, Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, guess what? God is with you. You're having a bad day? Stop for a minute. Have some time with God. Take 5 minutes of your day and have time with God. Over here. Watch what could happen. You know, the Bible says he's your friend. How many want friends? Everybody said, I don't have any friends. That's a lie. God said, I'm your friend. Not your boss, not your commander, not your ruler. I'm your friend. Spend time with your friend. Let's stand up and pray together. Because God is with us here. Uh-oh, look out. Lord, thank you for this day. Look at who came to church today. Even though it was raining, Lord, we ask for special blessings. Extension on blessings, double blessings, Lord. Any blessings that you can provide us, Lord, we just want them from you, Lord, because that's what we're calling on. So this morning, we can do that. We, Lord, help us and keep us safe, and may the Word of God today change somebody's life. When we read the Word of God, may it change your life. May what we're serving today change your life, make you think more about God, because when you do that, you draw closer to God and great things can happen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Let's all have joy and peace in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, Norm's here. We got to watch the drum. You might say, hey, you sang that song last week. You'd be right. Yeah. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Jesus said, go out and preach. If you're not excited about your church, I apologize. If you're not excited about your pastor, I apologize. If you don't believe in this church, I understand. But if you believe, like I believe, that this is the greatest place to be on a Sunday morning, that we're a great family together because we're under God's care and love and God's guidance, then I want to tell everybody. And I have reached out to a lot of people. Not people that don't come to the church, but like I'm telling you to do, I've done it. For the last 2 weeks, I've done it, and I haven't seen the rewards, the fruit of my rewards yet, but somebody said that they were coming today, Norman, and I'm here, so I get it, it's raining out. But I'm not going to stop, because God never stops blessing our life. God has never stopped answering my prayers. So I'm going to stand with God, and I'm going to continue to do what I've asked you to do. Go on and preach the word. Give me an amen, church.
Amen.
Amen. But we all need each other. If you believed in this church, And I'm guilty just like you. There was a time there when I didn't send any texts out, but I'm not going to let that happen anymore. I've gotten good replies, I've gotten no replies, but I'm not going to let it stop me because I know what we're doing here can save a soul. How many? One soul. One soul is enough for God. If you brought one soul in, you saved that person. And you give that person hope, it changes their life. How many want their lives changed? Well, God's ready. You just have to take steps with Him. He's your friend. He's with you all the time. You're going to hear from me all the time. I'm just saying, just go out and preach the word. Just go out and tell somebody. If you really believe the Lord doing here, you'd want to tell somebody, amen? If you found a real good fishing spot, well, maybe that isn't right.
No, that's not right.
I wouldn't share that with anybody. No, that's not good. But if you found something that's really good, amen, you'd want to believe. You know who believes? Sister Dale believes. And she's going through something this weekend. Dale, we're all praying with you. We're standing with you and believing with you and asking God to perform your prayers being answered in Jesus' precious name. It's all about Jesus. We can put it in His hands, and we put you in His hands for your safety and for your heart too to be strong and for your heart to be, because you're the prayer warrior in your family. So we're going to pray for you and pray for those who are in need this morning. Amen? Amen. We need more doctors to trust in God. Right, Brother John? We need doctors to know God and believe God and see God and know the Word of God. And hallelujah, have power. But we love you, Dale, and we love your sacrifice. How you come to this church, you get the farthest parking place, and you walk, and we just love you for that. Give Dale praise. She needs the strength. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus gave us those words as a pattern of prayer. Give Him praise in Jesus' name, church.
Wisdom better than weapons because lives can be spared.
If people fighting wars use wisdom instead of weapons, how many lives would be spared? Thousands and thousands and thousands. Amen? And this preacher of Ecclesiastes, I was going to do a Bible sermon on Ecclesiastes 9. And how many know who that preacher is? It's Solomon. Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. This man had more than anybody here in this church. He had everything. He had what? Everything. And he was the most depressed human being. When you read his writing, if you go open your Bible to Ecclesiastes, especially chapter 9, you close it, you're depressed. He said, no matter what I have, it's worthless. No matter how much gold I have, it's worthless. No matter what I eat, it's worthless. Because it's all going to fade away, and I'm going to pass away someday, and it's going to be, I don't know anything about it, and other people will use what I have. The man was depressed. The
richest man in the world.
And I can't even begin to tell you. I read that, and I said, I can't do a Bible sermon on this, or a study. Everybody's going to leave there depressed. But he says, it's good for a man to eat the food from his hand, and drink, and from his labors all his life. That's a good thing. And to trust in God. That's it. Trust in God. But, I mean, read this guy had everything. You all think money's the problem? No. Money, I mean, we all need a little bit of money, but it ain't going to bring in the happiness. You know why? Because you're going to buy a bigger car. You're going to buy a bigger house, and you're going to have bigger bills.
Yeah.
And then other people are going to call you when you have money. Yeah. Brother Greg, remember me? I'm your cousin from Alabama. Okay, let's get back to business. In the new covenant, that's the new promise, where will God put his laws? Where will he put them? Will he put his laws in your soul? How about your heart and mind? Or in his tabernacle? In the new covenant, where will God put his laws? How many think in your soul? Can you put it down your soul? How about your hearts and your minds? How about in his tabernacle, so everybody can see it? He will put his laws in your heart. In your heart. I wrote a song 100 years ago called In My Heart. Everybody likes that. I love this. But because your heart is the core, is the center. Remember last week? How many remember last week? When we tried to figure out at the end of the problem how to fix the problem instead of going to the beginning of the problem and where in the heart of man, in the beginning. A lot of things happen from the beginning to the end. If you could fix any one of those things, it would fix the end. What did Paul say should not exist among the brethren? This is a good question. I like this one. What did Paul say should not exist among the brethren? Who are the brethren?
Us.
Hey, thank you, friend. Welcome. By the way, happy birthday, Elder Nancy.
Thank you.
To you.
Yes.
Today is your birthday.
Yep.
What did Paul say should not exist among the brethren? Lies? Yeah, maybe. Gossip? Yeah, maybe. Or division? What should not exist? And I'm talking, there's one answer according to Scripture. What did Paul say should not exist among you? Lies? Anybody lies? How about gossip? That's a good answer too. How about division? Yes. That's the best answer. There should be no division. We should have unity in Christ. You don't have to agree on everything. You don't have to be the same mind. You're not robots. You might have different feelings about all sorts of things. But there should be unity in the church. Because you're the body, and the body cannot split and splinter. Just because you disagree means somebody doesn't agree with your what? Your opinion. No, it's true. And it's so crazy in the world today that we can't discuss opinions. If you're for it or against it, all they want to do is fight with each other. Who thought that was a good idea? But the answer is divisions. In 1 Corinthians 1:10. Thank you, Lord. Good job, everybody. Okay, Walter is fine. You give God praise. Jean fell down the stairs.
Oh, jeez.
She fell down two steps. And she landed on her back. She hurt her leg a little bit, pulled my thing, her back's a little sore. I spoke to her this morning, so she was talking. She was laughing. She misses you all. I told her how much we miss her and Walter. In fact, Walter called my wife. Walter's doing better. And she's even talking about in at the Bible study this Tuesday coming up. But she said she's a little sore. She's walking with a cane, and she might go see the doctor just for x-rays. But y'all want to call her later and tell her how much you missed her, how much you love her. I'm sure it'd be great. But I just think that was not funny at all. But she missed the last two steps, and she, I can't imagine what Walter was going through. Amen? Thank you, Lord. In your Bible, we have scripture readings. Let's read them together if you want. 1 Corinthians 14 said, let all things be done decently and in order. Y'all got that? And yeah. Marilyn put them in. Let all things be done decently and in order. Acts 4 said, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. It's interesting. Philippians 4 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. By who? Christ Jesus. And 2 Timothy, this is a good one. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is a good and acceptable before God. Those are your scripture readings. Now let's do our responsive reading. Y'all ready? I got you all worked up. Y'all ready to go? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yep. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Oh, hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Hallelujah. What a beautiful scripture. Psalm 34. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful words. And the fear of the Lord is not the fear, it's reverence. Amen. Have reverence for God. Just honor him with your reverence. Honor him with your praise. Honor him with the fact that he is God and he loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to read a little bit, just a little bit, so you can listen. But I'm going to go to Acts chapter 5. And I'll read just a little bit, so if you want to listen, I'm going to be real easy. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? He said, while it remained, was it not yours, your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but lied to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Wow. That is what? The end. You say, what the heck are you talking about? And what happened? And how does it pertain to me today? Anybody want to ask that? How does that story pertain to me today? I'm going to tell you. But in order to tell you, I have to do what, church? I have to go back where? To the beginning. You see, that was the end of the story. That's what I was preaching last week. That was the, how do we fix the end of the story? We got to find out the beginning of the story. Ananias and Sapphira sold the possession, but kept back part of the money. They only gave a portion to the church. Why? Okay, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What is wrong with what they did? Peter made it a point to say that. Early church, fellow believers, again, back to, I'm going to go back to to Acts 4. I just read from Acts 5. That's what I forgot to tell you. You see, in order to go back, I got to go back to Acts 4, verse 32. So let me read and just a little bit. Stay with me now, and I'm going to... Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. How many hearts?
One.
Neither did anyone say that of the things he possessed was his own, for they had all things in common. Okay. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. How many?
Great.
All, right? How much grace was upon all of them? Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of the things that were sold. And they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each and anyone had need. I'll stop right there. Y'all got that with me? So Ananias and Sapphira, they sold their house, they sold their land, but they kept back part of the money. I mean, what, you know what? But early church, fellow believers, to help each other, we should share in the blessings from God. This is what they were talking. God being the connection. Amen. See, God was the connection. Each one of us is blessed with certain gifts to be shared among the whole. That's the unity of God's people. Saying, whatever you have and whatever you have, you sell it all and we'll put it in the pile and David will distribute it to everybody to their need. That's what the church believed. That's what the early church did. The unity of God's people. But listen to what it's not, because it sounds a little like communism if you think about it. But it is not what's yours is mine. Not that. It's more like what's mine is yours. To give, not to take. What's mine is yours to give it to you, but not for you to take it. There's a difference. Amen? Not on demand. You can't demand me give you anything. That's okay. But given in need. Given in what? Need. That's a nice word. Not with overseers nor rulers who decide all that. Not an organization in charge. They give it to the apostles, but it's not the apostles. Understand that? They give it to the apostles' feet, so there was a central place for everybody to come. But it wasn't the apostles who decided. It wasn't them who said, I'll give you this, I'll give you. They put it there so you had a central place to go, so everybody's needs were met. Amen? Not with overseers. The apostles simply kept everything safe. As each family, each church family, tended to the needs of each other. Actually, and I wrote this, making smaller congregations easier because everybody knows everybody and everybody knows what you sold and what you gave. So there's like no hiding, no hoarding. There's nobody keeping back. You see, if you had 500 people or 1,000 people or 100 people, there could be people, you know, 8 or 9 of them keeping things back. And you didn't know what everybody was doing. But in a church like this, you know what everybody's doing because we talk to each other, right? I hate what they said to me. So each congregation had to share, less to hide or keep back, or to give the favors. How many know we do that? You forgive favors. I don't want to do that. You say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. You're a little more easy with the people you love to forgive. Say amen. That's true.
Amen.
But see, they were led by God and the Holy Spirit. No hoarding. And there's one of your scripture readings. In decency and order. Marilyn put that in there. Do you all remember reading that? I hope you did. Where did you read it? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, you read that. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's why that scripture's in there. Holy cow, that's why? Yes. Unity, and I read that to you and I'll read it again. Unity gave power. Because they were unified and believing in God, it gave power. It gave confidence. That power gave confidence. And confidence gives what? Faith. And faith gives what? Testimony. You see, because they did that and all needs were met, the apostles had power to preach about the resurrection because good things were happening. How many know when good things are happening, you can preach more together? When good things are happening, you share the good news. And they had power because everything was working. Unity gives power. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one mind. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. because good things were happening, amen? And great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Unmerited favor on each and every one of you. Look around. Everybody here, you all got great grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Unity. That's power. Everybody's good. They're on fire for God. So far, so good. But why me? What's that got to do? And great grace was upon them all. I love grace. They became, are you ready, church? Here we go. They became effective witnesses. And effective witnesses must be filled with strength, faith, and be bold. Are you with me? Filled by and with the Holy Spirit in confidence. He or she cannot contain their hope in God, the resurrected Jesus. God, church, love, and confidence. You love God so much, and you love this church so much, and you love me so much that you can't hold it back. You have to tell somebody about your church. You have to tell somebody about what God is doing in your life. Amen? And if you have that confidence, they have to do what? Listen to you. And they see it in you. They see, man, I know you got troubles, but you don't act like it. What's your secret? Say, Jesus. It's a good opening. See, they were so excited. You can't contain. You can't hold back the testimony. That's what I'm telling you today. That's what we all need. Me too. You all need to spread the testimony. Hallelujah. And see what was happening. They were all under grace. How many want more grace? Come on, raise your hand. You know it's true. Okay, 34. Let's go. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were put possessed of the land and the houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. No one lacked. None of you. No one was hungry, thirsty, or without shelter. Nobody was without a horse, a bull, a sheep. Each church, each believer, all your need. And this is interesting. Anybody ever hear that scripture? I wish Gene was here. And it says, wait a minute. It's in your bulletin. Isn't that amazing? Philippians 4. And your boss says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Anybody ever read that? It's interesting. The word need. Is there an S there?
No,
because God adds, he fulfills your need. And this is also interesting because I looked up about 8 different translations, just to explain it to you. I looked up about 8 of them. There were 2 of them. The NIV and the ECB, or NCB, which is the New Catholic Bible, they both say, God will provide all your needs. With an S. Okay. I'm going to stick with need, because he doesn't provide all your needs, because your needs, he's not worried about your needs, he's worried about your need, what you need. And I'll get into that, because it just, back it up with Scripture. So, nobody lacked. Nobody left. And I thought that was interesting. A couple other translations of it. So 34. Would they all sold it? Now are there anything among them who lacked? For all who were possessors of land or houses sold it and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Hallelujah. All sold their land and houses and gave all to the apostles. And the apostles gave out as needed to each one who had a what? Need. Each one did it willingly for the whole. How did it work out? Well, the Bible said none of them lacked. They needs were met. Amen? Wow. Maybe we're missing something here. It gets better. Okay, I didn't read this part. And Joseph is at verse 36, chapter 4. Listen to this. And Joseph, J-O-S-E-S. David, how do you pronounce that? Joseph. Who was also named Barnabas. I like Barnabas. Say it with me. Barnabas. Why did I just say Barnabas? By the apostles, which is translated, Barnabas is translated son of encouragement. What a great name. A Levite of the country of Cyprus. Having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. 36 and 37, scripture, chapter and verse, amen. Now this guy Barnabas sold his land. That mean anything to anybody? Where did I just read that from?
Acts.
Where? Bible, right? I just read about Barnabas in the Bible. Any of your names are in the Bible? I wish my name was in the Bible. His name and what he did is in the Bible. So whoever wrote the book of Acts thought it enough to put his name and those two lines where? In the Bible. I just read it to you. Barnabas stole all his land. So I must tell you, it must have been magnificent for him to mention, everybody sold, we read it, all the apostles, all the people sold their land, sold their houses. Anybody else's name? No. But there's Barnabas' name in front of the whole congregation. You think like Brother John came and he sold, and went, oh, look what everybody else is looking at. I did that. How come? It must have been absolutely magnificent because his name is in the Bible. I think that's amazing. I wish my name was in the Bible. Nobody else, just me. I'm here. And Barnabas, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow. They must have seen it. It must have been amazing because there it was. Okay. Even with God, men can get lost. Can I get an amen? Even if God is in your life, how many made mistakes this week? Thank you. Attaboy, Norman. How could you? Fred, you didn't know him. Even when God is with you, you can mess it up. Right? You can lose your way. Sometimes it's greed. Sometimes it's self. Sometimes it's worry. Anybody worry this week? Anybody want anything? Anybody afraid of anything? Anybody jealousy? What an awful word. You're meeting one of the most jealous people I grew up right here, me. I mean, it was just, that's just crazy. Fear and worry. I love that worry part because I know I can get to people with it. Did you worry this week, Bob? Are you worried about anything? What are you worried about? What are you thinking about? Worried? Are you worried? Why are you worried? That's what you got. What are you worried about? You're sinning. Not supposed to worry. Don't be anxious for anything. Well, see, even with God, men can get lost. Hallelujah. And here's the thing about that. Paul knew about that. And you say to me, well, did Paul write Acts? I don't know. Nobody really knows for sure if Paul wrote Acts or Luke wrote Acts. But I can tell you that Paul wrote other things in the Bible. How many know that's true? You see, he knew that. He knew that with man, sometimes even with God, men can get lost. He must have seen the dangers, the troubles. The Holy Spirit must have spoke to Paul's heart, inspired by God to lead us, teach us, and guide us. That's what Paul was supposed to do, to guide us and teach us. Amen? So even with God, man can mess it up. So Paul, in his wisdom, has given the church guidelines, directions, spiritual guidance to do what we talked about. To sell everything. Oh, everybody today, you sell everything, you bring it here, give it to David, and he'll pass it out. First of all, Paul said that the church, the body, should decide who the truly needy are. When you're going to give everything and supply their what? Their need. When you're going to take from everything that we have and help somebody else in their need, the church and the body must first decide who truly needy they are. And how do you do that? Well, 1 Timothy 5 says, honor widows who are truly widows. Why? Why would you say that? Why would you say honor widows who are truly widows? Unless what? Some people tried to cheat. I'm a widow. You're not. You see, he said, who are truly widows, which means other people who weren't truly widows were going to get something. They were going to get a bag of food. They were going to get something. Because he said it. Honor widows who are what? Truly widows. As you all read that, but you forget. Why did he have to say it? Why? He doesn't have to say that unless what? People are going. Hallelujah. So that's, you know, those are false claims. That's a lie to say you are something. I only know that's a lie to say you're out something. You're not. Okay, there's another one. He wrote this in Thessalonians. You're going to like this one. If one person in your church can support himself, he is not truly needy and must provide for his own food. Well, how do you know that? Because Paul wrote in Thessalonians, ready? If anyone will not work, neither shall they eat. OMG. If you're not going to work, you're, unless it's not truly needy, if you can support yourself. And see, you can't take from the church now. You're another person, so you just can't take because you're not truly needy. And it says this, if family can support a needy person, the church should not support them. It says that in 1 Timothy. Did we get that one? Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Timothy 5, in your bulletin, Maryland, we're in the 99 part. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their persons, parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Oops. If family can support a needy person, the church should not support them. You see, he made rules. You see, guidelines. Amen? So I ask you, is it right for the church to examine moral conduct before giving support? I say yes, because he just said, if you're not needy, and it says the support of the church should be for the most basic necessities of living, according to 1 Timothy 6. The support of the church should be for the most basic necessities of living. And what it says in 1 Timothy 6, it says, and having food and clothing, with these shall be content. Wow. So if you have food and you have clothes, you should be content. You should be at peace. Okay, all right, Pastor. I'm getting close now, Renee. Ananias and Sapphira, let's get back. Okay, you and how do I make this about you? How do I make this about you in the mirror with Ananias and Sapphira, his wife? They kept back part of the proceeds. We're going back to chapter 5 now, right? I read that they kept back part of the proceeds. I asked you what was wrong with that, and you said, I don't think anything. But they kept back part of the proceeds in the sight of all. They made their offering. Partners in deception. You see, they went to, who was the name of the Bible that I read a minute ago that is in the Bible? What's his name?
Barnabas.
How many said, say Barnabas. You all with me? So the Bible mentioned Barnabas, so he must have been a great offering. And everybody was there saying, wow, look at that. Look at that. He got praised. He got exalted. He got mentioned in the Bible. So Ananias is saying, man, I want to be mentioned. I want that praise. And I want, and his wife said, yeah, let's go. We deserve it. We'll sell our house and we'll deserve it. But we'll keep some back just in case it doesn't work out. So they go in front of all the apostles, in front of the whole church. They come right up the middle and say, here you go, David, here's my offering. And David says, wait a minute, why? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Ananias, you're looking at him like, what? How'd you know? He's saying, why did Satan fill your heart to? And notice he said, and lie to the who? Holy Spirit. Which makes the Holy Spirit what? A person. See, he's saying that you lie to the Holy Spirit. You lie to a person. When you say God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, sometimes we think of Spirit. No, he's the greatest of the three in the sense that he's with you all the time. The Spirit of God is indwelling. God is with you all the time. That Spirit of God. So when you lie, who's standing right next to you? Who's inside you? The Spirit of God. Jesus might be off doing something. God might be off doing something. But his Spirit is right in your heart. And he's saying, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. So Ananias is caught. He's exposed. Tremendous pain and shame in front of everyone. He's crushed. He wanted to be praised and exalted by everyone. Now he's exposed as a what? A fraud. How could they have known? How could they? Instead, God, Ananias, you lied to God, to the Holy Spirit, the person. You had to be dwelt with. He had to be dwelt with where? In public. Because he came publicly with his offering. He needed to be dealt with in public. Hallelujah. And what does it say? 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So that great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. What did he do? He died. God did not take Ananias' life. You understand that? God didn't take his life. Ananias did not commit suicide. Understand that? Understand something else. You never read that? Peter never said a word. Ananias just died right there in front of him, and he never said a word. But God didn't take his life. It seems that God was pretty harsh. That's what people would think. In that he did not stop him from dying. Ananias was left alone in his pain. He was a believer. Ananias was a wonderful Christian, a wonderful believer. But he fell into sin, and he was consumed in his guilt. Think about that, because we're right on the last page. Here it is. He fell into sin, and he was consumed in his guilt. So he was crushed. God didn't take his life. He didn't commit suicide. He just died in his shame. He died in his sin. And great fear, it said, great fear, everybody else that saw it, what just happened? Right? I mean, see it with me. He falls down dead. Peter never says a word. He stands back and they carry him away. Everybody else is. Did you lie to God? You better not. Hey, brother, don't lie to God. Did you see what he just lied to God? And there he is. They were afraid. Not just afraid. What does it say? Great fear. That means more than great fear. Sin is real. Ouch. God is in the forgiveness business. Amen? He is in the business of forgiveness. But sin separates us from him. When you sin, you separate yourself from God. Even though he's in the forgiveness business. Amen? A pain that may be too big to bear. Imagine that. His shame caused him to die. And here's the ending, and here's where it pertains to us. You all ready? This is where it's us, and this is the church. He died from his shame, amen? And what was his shame? He lied to who? God. He lied to the Holy Spirit. He lied to God. He was a Christian, amen? He loved God, amen? He loved everything. So he lied to God. His shame caused him to die. Are you ready? Maybe the church should be more aware of turning away from the Word. I mean that with everything I'm telling you. Maybe the church we have, all the churches should be a little more afraid of turning away from the Word of God. Or teaching His Word. Or teaching another way. Maybe the church ought to be a little more careful about teaching the other way. About turning from God. Amen? If you turn away from God and you turn away from the Word, what are you doing? You're lying to who? God. Hallelujah. Time has caused hearts to turn colder and bolder. Pride, power, wealth, too content. We feel too safe in our own skin. We feel the church feels too strong. Nothing can come against the church. There's millions of people, and I've got all these people. And there's nothing, what can happen to me? Look how strong we are. Yeah, that's called pride, amen? That's called self, and that's called greed, and thinking that you can just change the Word of God because, well, I'm just going to go along to get along, and what's going to hurt? Now in verse 10 and 11, we meet his wife, Sapphira. And that's... Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have just buried your husband are at the door and they will carry you out. Oh. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man carried her and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. Again, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. You think the church would be a little less content and a little less bold, amen, and a little less cold-hearted to want to change anything in this Bible, to teach anything that's different? I'm being honest with you. Can I get an amen? Can you see what I'm saying? Because these two people fell down dead when they were exposed. That's it. God didn't punish them. God didn't kill them. They didn't commit suicide. But out of their guilt, out of their shame, they fell down dead. So what do you think is going to happen to churches that change the word of God? They're going to fall down dead. Maybe you won't see it, but it's going to happen. Today, it is in our hands. Do we stand by and do nothing? Do we just agree to get along? No. Follow the world or follow God and follow His word. It's really not hard. Amen? I choose to follow God. Give Him praise. Wow, what a story. You can read that 10 times and not see how it pertains to today, but it does. Everything in the Bible pertains to today. Every scripture you read, you can find it and tie it in to today in your life. God is in the forgiveness business. He'll forgive you today. God is in the grace business. He'll give you grace today. God will bless you today. So He's in the business today. So don't lie to God and don't get cold-hearted and don't change the word. Just read the word. Read the word and understand the word. So when somebody else changes the word, you say, time out, wait a minute. That's not quite right. Stand on the word. Can I get an amen? Spread the word. That's what we're called to do. I think we have a lot of powerful people here. I think you all are powerful enough to tell somebody about God. Praise the Lord. We certainly have plenty of rewards. Plenty of good things that God has blessed us with. Every single minute we can look at blessings that we have. Look at the family that we have. Look at the friends. Look at the home we have, the car. Look at the blue sky. Look at the mountains. Anybody see all the colors? Oh my God. The trees are purple and the trees are yellow and all the green is just screaming out and God is saying, how do you like me? Now, you didn't have a thing to do with that. On that mountain that's all green and beautiful, you had nothing to do with that. That's mine. Do you like it? I hope you do because I give it to you. Thank you, Lord. I gave you my son. I gave to you my son so that you may have eternal life. That you may have your sins remission. Just absolutely the most beautiful gift of forgiveness that I offer to you because of my son. And he just wants you to do this morning in remembrance of him. Just remember what he did on that cross for you. In Jesus' name. God, it's still in me all week long reading that over and over again. They fell down dead from their shame because they turned away from God. Father, forgive us for our iniquities this week. Anything that turned us away from you, Lord, that we have this chance this morning, Lord, to ask you to forgive us for our doubts, our fears, anything, Lord, that we questioned, any words that we said, any actions, Lord, that were against what you want us to be, that separate us from you. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we do this in remembrance of your son. In Jesus' name, church. Be healed today and be at peace. May your body be healed this morning, brother and sisters. We pray for Sister Jean. That even now she misses this church. She misses being part of the family here in Walter. We ask the Holy Spirit to touch her, heal her body even now that she's feeling some spirit of God in her. I know she's reading her word. I know she's studying and preaching to, reading to Walter. We lift up Sister Dale's grandson. We ask you, Lord, every minute to be a miracle. Every 5 minutes that we'll see it as a miracle, Lord. You touch him, touch the doctor's hands, Lord. And we will give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. He's your God. All in one accord, when they were in one accord, God came and just swept through them with the Holy Spirit. The winds blew and it was amazing. The power that they had. When you're in one accord, church, when you're following God, the power that you have, the grace that God gives you, the blessings that fall upon you when you're right with the Word of God. You have to be right with the Word of God. Other people might not even see what you're praying for. Might not even know it. They might be standing right next to you and you're praying for something. and you're covered by God and the beautiful answer of prayers all around you. So hallelujah, beautiful things that God gives to us. And he just asks for us to give a little bit back from the blessings that we have. Everything we have is from God. So I thank you already for the offering. I thank you for the givers of this church. I just thank you for the testimonies of what God's doing in your life. I want you to be bolder. I want you to be stronger. I want you to trust God more, because he will not disappoint you. And the more you know about God, the more you'll see that he does not disappoint you. Trust God. Trust him and believe in this church so much that you can't stop telling somebody about it. You can't hold back the testimony of what you heard today and the strength that you have. You can't hold back your answer when somebody asks you a question. You have the answer. You have the power. You have the gift to heal and the word of God. And I thank you for all that you give to God. But I thank you for this also, for the church, the monetary gift you give. And God said, I will even give this back to you. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this offering in Jesus' name. They fell down in shame because they lied to God. God didn't take their life. They didn't commit suicide. They saw what they did, and they knew what happened. The severity of what they tried to pull over on the people. They wanted praise. They wanted people to love them. They wanted people to exalt them and to lift them up. And they had that greed and that self so deep in them that they lied to God. I pray that every church finds that pain today when they lie to God. Anybody who changes the word of God, I pray that something comes upon them that they understand it's God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just lift you up and love you. The Lord God bless you and keep you, yes. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. When you follow God, all these are yours. Everything he has is yours. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask you to bless our nation. One nation under God, Lord, we ask you to bless us and teach us and lead us and shine a light that everybody has to see, Lord. Keep us protected and love us. God bless the United States.
Come on, brothers.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white and blue.